What's up, guys? Welcome back. Another episode of Push Through, where we are trying to push through our laziness of last week and skipping an episode. why didn't we record last week? I think we've said to ourselves that if we don't have anything to talk about, we don't want to force an episode.
Yeah, I mean, just, dude, we got life going on. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. So if we're
raining a lot,
if we miss a week, it's not personal. We let the people in the Discord know.
You know, so. Yeah, I mean, if it was, you know, it is what it is. Now we're here.
Yeah, we didn't want to rush it, but we're good. So today is what, June 10th? So this is Sunday. I'll get it out tomorrow. I'll get it out for the people.
Boom.
Stay up a little bit late tonight and get it edited. But we have a bunch of things to talk about now. You know, there was a little bit of limbo last week, and you had your parents coming into town, and my last week of work. Oh man, summer vacation just hits.
Mm.
You'd think being a teacher for 15 years that like I'd be like, oh yeah, summer. Dude, it is just as kick. Actually, let me take that back. It is more kick ass every single year summer comes. I'm like, shit, I am more and more blessed.
I bet.
Oh, dude, it's because as we get older, we start to really see that value of like time is the most important valuable asset.
For sure.
And oh man. And having kids now and seeing people have to work all summer and their kids are off from school. And it's like,
how does that even work? Me and Lindsay were talking about that the other day.
Day camps, man.
Yeah.
Day camps, grandmas, the same as the regular year. And I mean, like my daycare, there's like two options. You can be like a 10-month, which is like follows the school schedule, or you can be a 12-month a year. I know pretty heavy in the Jewish districts by me is like they'll go away for a whole summer camp. Like they'll go to sleepaway camp for the whole summer.
Damn.
But like that's, we're talking probably 13, 14 grand a kid do that.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But when they get older,
summer camp.
When they get older, they're going on. But like, yeah, or you just have those parents that do different, like my parents weren't teachers. But like my dad, during the summer, he'd work more overnights. You know, he would see, you see it now in hindsight. You know, you're like, oh, why is dad sleepy all summer? It's like the dude was like still trying to be our T-ball coach and do everything. So, you know, yeah, I guess that's what you do. And I couldn't imagine, or even furthermore, my wife and I joke all the time. Like, I don't think if I wasn't a teacher, I don't think I could be married to one. Like, and she says the same thing. Like if she had to get up and go to work all summer and I was just and still getting paid. Like,
yeah,
I don't know how people are married where one person is a teacher. That's gotta be. Yeah. Cause I couldn't imagine being at work over the summer and being like, oh man, my kids are like at home or my kids are hanging out with grandma and grandpa and having a grand old time on the boat. And here I am like,
yeah,
I knew when I took the teaching job that summers and weekends and all that, the holidays and everything off, but like it doesn't hit until it hits.
Don't you think that stuff should be taught more to young kids, like the difference of careers and what to expect in real life? Because like when you're 18, you're not thinking about like having summers off to swim with your kids and not have to pay 3 months of daycare. You know what I mean?
You can ask all 70 of my kids how many of them want to be a teacher. And I can't say with confidence everyone would say no, but maybe there'd be like one person in there that wants to be a teacher. But like, we're still seen as authority. That's like asking an 18-year-old, do you want to be exactly like your parents?
Yeah. No, that's
you know, so it's usually like the teaching, I think the authority figure that comes along with teaching, it kind of pushes kids away and they don't realize it. I'll be honest, the kids that do talk about possibly wanting to be a teacher are the kids that have parents that are teachers.
Mm. Yeah, so that like, makes sense.
You know how you've said before, like you try and make it very, very clear to Mace that like the situation with you home and your wife home is not the norm and that you're going to push him into like, you know. So yeah, no, dude, I'm fucking off the Labor Day and it's insane.
Yeah, no, that's great, man. I mean, it's, yeah, having that time is always nice. And, you know, spending more time with your kids and going to get to enjoy stuff is just,
And it's just long enough too. Like I will say, like the last 2-3 weeks in August, I'm ready to go back.
Oh, I'm sure,
I do love my job. And you and we'll talk about this again in August, and we probably have in previous episodes, like when I've had to go back. But like, there's something to be said about having a structure, having an alarm, mm-hmm. and having a routine that, like, after 9 weeks off, like I couldn't imagine, especially before I had kids, where like I knew it was summer when like I didn't know what day of the week it was anymore.
Yeah.
You know, or like when somebody had to remind me that we were in August, I was like, oh man, it's August already. Oh shit. You know, like, all right, here the Tour de France was over and I'm like, it's August, damn it.
Yeah, I know. That's something I need to be better at. Like my whole life's been like that. Not my whole life. The past like 3 years of my life has been like that, where, you know, I don't pay attention to the day of the week, because like I can work on a Saturday and I could work on a Wednesday. I have gotten better, I think, with weekends and stuff now. But, you know, for the past 3 years, it's just been like a whirlwind of not knowing and not paying attention to the days or whatever. And I never really had like I haven't used my alarm in, you know, over 3 years, unless I had to get up to like catch a flight or something like that, or had a meeting or something I had to wake up for.
But
my kids are waking me up, but like, I don't have one for work, at least for not now. So it's been nice, but turning subjects, been doing it.
How many days you got on there?
I haven't done this weekend because just parents were here and stuff, but I'm going to update for this weekend.
I actually meant to ask you about it the other day, but I didn't want to be that guy. Like, are you still journaling? That guy. No, my buddy Dennis that you met when you were here, that guy around the bonfire that we were talking with, he just had a second daughter. And I recommended the Daily Dad to him, the Stoic book that I read, and also the journal. And we were talking about it, and he's like, I'm on board, you know? Yeah. And it's like, especially too, with the 5-year lines, like, Mason's going to be like 10. Like, you'll be able to go back with Mason to today and talk about 5 years ago. That's going to be so sick.
That will be cool. It started May 15th and I've gotten every day.
Nice.
Yep.
I think I'm like 2 months in. It really is. And it's fun trying to focus down to just those 3-4 lines. If you guys have no idea what we're talking about, a couple weeks ago, we talked about a journal that I do. I also made a TikTok, Instagram reel on Brad Trains about the book. And it's just like, I used to journal like a full page and it just got too daunting. But this book, you only write like a sentence or two. It's all there's room for.
Well, I just flipped to this and I'll read my May 17th entry. Because like some of them are just like, you know, quick sentences. Some I do get pretty deep. Some I'm just like, you know, just knocking it out to knock it out.
Mm-hmm.
May 17th, 2023. I don't have the day wrote on this one. I started writing the days when I saw your story. I was like, oh, that's a good idea. Says a long work day today. Got Dividend Tracker up to 1,000 followers on Twitter. So that was cool. Mace asked to play with him for just 15 minutes last night because I worked all day. So I'll try to play with him more tomorrow. Mason's second night of Ninja Gym was today and he killed it. Like, little stuff. But like, it's going to be cool. Like you said, when he's 10, I'm gonna be like, dude, when you were 6, you know, you were like, asking me to play.
Yeah, or can you believe it's been a year since you've been doing Ninja Gym?
For sure. Absolutely. So yeah,
because how many things happen in our kids' lives where we're like,
oh my God.
Oh man, remember, because you know, Brody just went through that stomach bug. And it's like, it's one thing to be like, man, remember when Brody was freaking sick for 4 days? Like, man, when was that? Was that when he was 3? How many times do we do that in our life? And now it's gonna be like, May 29th, Brody's been throwing up for 4 days straight.
Yeah, I'm glad you got me onto it, man. I'm excited just to keep up with it. There's definitely days I skip, like on accident. Like I just forget about it. But usually what happens is I always fill it out the next day.
Yeah, in the morning.
So when I come up into the office, I have it right here next to my keyboard. Yeah. So I look at it and I'm like, oh, that's the first thing I do when I get up here. I open it. I jot down from yesterday what happened or what we did or, you know, some stuff. And it's been cool.
Oftentimes journaling, I mean, a lot of people talk about the inner peace it brings like at that particular moment. But now that I've been doing it, not consistently, not daily for a couple years, but I filled a couple like small books, it's going back and it's reading things that happened, and you realize how much your life changes, and you also realize how much your life really stays the same. And that was kind of like something that was in the Daily Dad the other day, and it was like, you really need to focus on literally how little amount of things you need to be truly, truly happy.
So true.
And how, I have it here somewhere. It's like, remember how little we actually need in order to be happy, how wonderful ordinary moments can be. And like you're saying now, you're like, sometimes I just jot stuff in there just to write it. But what you're going to realize in a year or two years is like, an ordinary day was still a fucking awesome day.
Yeah. And like you said too, I think you said it maybe last episode or a couple episodes ago, you're always like, it's like, sometimes I try to think of it as like the highlight of the day. And sometimes it's bad stuff. I've had bad days where I put shit in there where I'm like, you know, was struggling with this today or whatever, like, so that I can come back and see it and be like, oh man, I got through it again. If I'm facing the same thing or whatever. But it is nice to be able to just like, no, you lived the day, you enjoyed the day, even though if it may have been shitty, you're going to be able to come back and look at it and, you know, just kind of not, maybe not relive the entire day, but get those quick memories. Cause like, it's the same thing when you see Facebook, you ever see those Facebook memories pictures?
Not anymore, dude? But yeah.
Yeah. Dude, those are the best, man. Like, yeah. We'll see like, for example, we were here in Florida last year. So we're getting all those pop up. Disney was popping up. We were in Disney last year this time. So like, we're seeing all the Disney pictures pop up. Like, it was just, I don't know, dude, it's cool to relive those. So to be able to do it in text version and actually see my thoughts on paper and be able to read what 32-year-old JJ was saying 5 years ago is, it's going to be pretty cool.
And we always talk about too, like how we're documenting everything for the kids for whenever. And, you know, I would love if something were to happen to me in the next 5 years, my kids can literally read about how much I love them and how much I truly enjoyed being with them literally every single day. Like, well, I try and focus it on three things. Like, I try and get one sentence in about me and like my well-being. I try and get one sentence in of how my kids made me happy or something going on with the kids. The third sentence is usually like, what's going on with my wife and I and how we're, you know, pushing through whatever we are or things like that. And I try and like touch on each one of those.
One thing I wanted to touch on with journaling is what's so cool about this too, is I'm reading a book right now. It's called 1776. Mm-hmm. It's like the history of America and how it got started, but it's in like a story version. It's so good. But that, so the author, David McCullough or something like that, I'm butchering his last name. His books are amazing. I read another history book by him called The Pioneers, how they set up the territory of Ohio. And the way he presents this information, you're not reading a textbook, like you're reading a book, and it is incredible. It's motivating. It's shocking. It's unreal to think about what these guys and these kids went through at such a young age. And none of it would have been possible if they wouldn't have journaled. And they left these diaries and their thoughts, their feelings, what they did, what they had to go through. And that's how he's able to, you know, put all this information together to put a story together. And there's some journal entries of like George Washington. I think he was like 42 at the time whenever the Revolutionary War was going on. And he was talking about the stress, and he didn't really know like the anxiety, like that name, but the author is saying like, you know, he was constantly talking about this feeling he had. And it was just, you know, anxiety of not knowing what's going to happen with the decisions he was making and trying to work with Congress at the same time. And dude, I've found this like real big passion for history over the past like year or two. And it's been incredible to be able to read these diary entries from one of the founding fathers. Here's another crazy thing. Thomas Jefferson at the time was freaking my age, dude. So like George Washington was you, Thomas Jefferson was me. And they're just fucking fighting.
Starting a red country. Coats.
Starting a country. Dude, it's unreal, man.
And you're like, hey, you want to do a podcast? They're like, hey, you want to take over the world?
I know. Well, it's just like, and the way they had to do things back then, like they talked about, like, you know, soldiers, like, toes and feet falling off from the cold. And, you know, there was no like heat. You couldn't go turn the thermostat up to 72 because you were cold. Like, you stayed warm by fire. Well, the problem was they were running out of wood to chop down to burn. So, like, literally soldiers were freezing to death. Like, they were just going out cold because there was no warmth. And you think about this shit and you're like, dude, how can I be burdened right now when we have so much luxury in our life? You know, I know we have struggles and stuff and I get it, but like, even on my runs, dude, like on my runs, whenever I'm struggling or when I'm hurting, that's the first place I go to is I think about like what those dudes went through in, you know, 200 and something years ago, 300 years ago, and how much harder they had it and how their journeys were probably much harder than my little wimpy ass 5 mile run. And here I am with my feet hurt because I don't have enough cushion in my shoe. You know what I mean? Like, I got to stop being a little pussy and, you know, just man up a little bit. But then here's the other thing that really has been motivating for me is a few people that I know of, you know through other people have passed away. And dude, one piece of motivation that has really, I go to it every time I run and I'm struggling is I think to myself, yes, you're hurting, it's going to be fine, you're going to push through it. But what I think about is those people who've passed away recently, I know if they could come back and feel the hurt and the pain that I'm feeling right now, they would give anything in the world to be able to do that. So I need to feel lucky that I can have that experience right now.
Yeah, I got two things to say about that. First is like the meme that you've probably heard or read, like, pressure is a privilege because it means somebody's depending on you. And like, mm-hmm. That's true. And to the passing away thing, my uncle, my dad's brother, was over last week for happy hour. And my dad and all of his brothers, they were very athletic. And they played like over 30 soccer and things like that. They're in their late 60s now. But he was over and asking me about the running thing. And he's like, dude, he's like, I know you've done the Ironman. He's like, I feel like this ultra thing is just, it's another level. He's like, what gives? He's like, I got to know. Like, why? He goes, I have zero. He's like, even if I think about being healthy enough to do it, he's like, it's the last thing I want to do. So he's like, do you have like, and I'm like, well, first off, you need a why if you're going to go like this, but it's self-exploration one, which is super cliche, but like wanting the pain is really the thing that I want. I want to see, I want to feel how much I can suffer and overcome. And I also will be thinking about, not so much my mom. I was living out of state when my mom was really, and she deteriorated quickly, but my dad suffered for literally years. And, you know, I think about, yeah, all the time, the amount of times that he would just be like, I wish I could run the Ironman. I wish I could go on a bike ride with you. I wish I could do this. And I just want to at least not suffer alongside him, because that makes me sound like a masochist. Like, I don't want to suffer for the sake of suffering. I want to suffer for the self-exploration piece. And it's the only thing that I can really feel to connect myself with those that are less fortunate than me. It's almost like I'm not trying to bring myself down to their level, but I feel like the only way I can really truly appreciate the struggle that some people go through is to force myself into a situation where I think that I am at my breaking point and then I want to overcome, because that will give me some insight to how the people that inspire me, they give me insight, like how they can inspire me. Like, you know, back in the day, I had a buddy in CrossFit and he got paralyzed in competition. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, man, this guy was on the steps of being one of the best CrossFitters in the world, this, that, and the other thing. And now, you know, he'll never walk again. And we would joke, we would cry. It was great, but he always inspired me. And like, I could never understand that inspiration. I could never get on his level and say, there's no way. Like, when I first met him, I'm like, this has got to be bullshit. He's got to be like just a front. And then when we're not around, he goes and cries himself into a hole. That was not the case because I became really, really close friends with this dude. And he was on all the time. Like he had emotional moments like we did, but it was just awesome to see him battle through the things that I took for granted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just little things like getting up and walking over to take a shit, you know, like things like that. And the, you know, the ultra thing, it's different than being paralyzed, obviously, but I hope you can kind of like get the idea of what I'm saying. And that's kind of what I said to my uncle. I'm like, I kind of want to know how bad my dad was hurting. And then also know that even when I think I know how bad my dad was hurting, he was still hurting more. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, and when I come out of that, I'll know that, you know, not, I mean, I'm proud, but I'll know that like I put in a good fight and it'll remind me of like what a fighter he was, because I know that if I get through a 100-mile race, I know it's going to be because of the things that he instilled in me. There's no way. It's like, it's a piece. It's a way for me to have a connection with my dad, you know, because I wouldn't have been able to complete the Ironman if he wasn't there. My second Ironman, it was right after my mom passed away and I hadn't trained. I was drinking heavily. I didn't even know if I was going to do the race and I was fucking delirious, dude. My dad walked in the last 3 miles with me. I don't even remember it. There was pictures of him walking with me and I'm like, hey, yeah, thanks. You were there? And he's like, dude, I walked in the last hour with you. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, we walked in a whole hour. He's like, you didn't say much, but we walked in the last 5K together. And I'm like, wow, I wouldn't have been able to do it without you. And I still know, even though he's not going to be here with me, I want to do an ultra marathon because I'll know, I'll be connected with him. I'll know that when I want to quit, he'll be there. And yeah, and I think my uncle understood, but
yeah,
I mean
dude, I can't imagine the conversations you can have too with them when you're out in those trails by yourself and struggling.
Like, I do it now. And like you say, when you start crying, like I would say any run that's over 90 minutes for me, I cry at some point.
Dude, me too, dude. What the heck?
Like, and you know, like when you try and hold back tears and you get that weird, like sore throat, it's like, you want to cry, but you're not, but you're like holding it. Dude, and like sometimes I'm genuinely hurting and other times I'm just like blessed.
Wow.
Sometimes it's like, I know that I put my wife in a tough situation. She's with the kids, but like, yeah, dude. But I was going to say, I've seen you wear that tank a bunch of times. It's fitting a little looser these days. I mean, you always talk about how skinny I am. This is really like the first time. Maybe it's because you got your hair did. And
probably, yeah.
Usually you always look skinnier when you cut your beard, but your beard has been the same length. But you're thinning out.
That's what my parents said this weekend too. My mom, she's like, wow, you really look like...
You're losing all your gains. You're coming over. People are going to think you're vegan soon.
That's what my dad said. He goes, dude, your muscle's shrinking. And I was like, oh no. He goes, you really have, you know, he goes, you really have slimmed out a lot.
Have you been on the scale?
No, I haven't. I need to get on. Because I was, what, 199 or something over at your house?
I think I had I just broke 190 and you had just broke 200.
200. Yeah.
And I was 184.5 today.
It's crazy.
Dude, it's fucking nuts.
I probably need to clean up the diet a little more. Like the diet's still a little but I have been eating better, but it could be a little better. Like I still like if when the family gets pizza, like I'm still down on pizza and shit, you know.
I need to eat more. And I'm not like, I don't have an eating disorder. It's just eating is just inconvenient for me. And like with the intermittent fasting, sometimes, and this sounds crazy, I just forget to eat. And now all of a sudden it's like dinner time. And I'm like, yeah, Tara, I really need to eat. And she's like, you haven't eaten anything all day. I'm like, I had coffee at 8 a.m. But yeah, Jesus. Like I need to eat more. I think my deficit is losing too much weight too fast at this point.
I love food too much to be able to forget. Like I think about it all the time.
When I do eat, and that's a great thing about running too, is like I can eat whatever I want. Yeah. But like I'm still like with the empty calories with the NA beers and stuff. I went to watch the fights with my brother last night and I had 12 Athletic Brewings. Like even they're only 50 calories, but I still had 12 of them, you know, and an ice cream sandwich, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing too. Like I get ice cream with the kids. Like when we go out for ice cream, like you guarantee your ass I'm getting it. And because, well, like yesterday's run was almost 10 miles and it was like 1500 calories I burned during that run roughly, you know, based on Strava's numbers. But
you can easily assume that you're burning like 125 a mile.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, dude, I'm telling you what, man, like with the whole running thing going on right now, like there's definitely days I wake up and I don't want to run.
Yeah.
But there's also days, I mean, that's like with anything, like you just got to show up. But for example, yesterday's run, I did not want to do it. I drank beers with my dad the night before. We got some Coronas and we had some margaritas at Mexican. And I was just like, I knew the next day was going to be shitty. And the next day was Saturday. I even told my dad, I was like, hey, I'm not going to drink Friday because I got a long run in the morning on Saturday. Well, that didn't happen. You know, I saw him pop open a Corona and I was just like, I guess I'll have one. I'll turn into a few. So anyways, but I didn't run in the morning and then Mason had wrestling camp. So we went to that and then we ended up showing them the new house, like where it's going to be at and stuff in the neighborhood. And we were looking at it and on the way out there right before, I was like, I think I'm going to run back home from the where the subdivision is that we're buying our house. And it was set on the map. So it was like 5 to 6 miles or something. And I was like, that's good. I said, I'll run my 5 or 6 miles and then I'll get like, you know, 8 to 10 on Sunday whenever I drop the parents off. Well, I was dreading the run, dude, dreading it. And the family was, Lindsay was taking the kids and my mom and dad to get ice cream on the way back from the house. I was like, I don't want to miss out on ice cream. Like I fucking love ice cream. So I was like, screw it. You know, they took the kids to the park. I was like, all right, this is a good time. I was like, I'm going to take off. So I took off and I was like, all right, let's just get these 5 miles and get done. Well, I also had a shitty ass lunch. It was like hot dogs and, you know, cheeseburgers and just nothing real good. So I had like acid reflux for the first 3 miles. And I was like, just feeling like crap, dude. But I was like, it's fine. Just keep going, steady pace. I was running like 11:10, which is like my comfortable pace. And I just kept going, kept chugging along. Well, then I heard them pass by. And Lindsay was like honking and my dad was like yelling out the window and stuff. So that kind of got me like a little boost. I was like, oh, I'm feeling pretty good. Good. All right, let's go. Well, then I knew they were going to Culver's to go eat and get their ice cream. So like I still had another probably 30 minutes of running, maybe 45 minutes of running until I got to them. So I figured they'd be gone by the time I passed Culver's. Bro, one of the coolest things happened to me while I was running. So I'm coming up on Culver's. And I'm not even looking for them because I'm thinking they're already home. And I'm just chugging along. I'm almost at the house, getting close. And I hear my dad's whistle. My dad's whistle hasn't changed since I've been a little kid. And I heard the whistle. I was like, holy shit, they're still here. Well, then as soon as he whistled, I looked over at Culver's and I saw like my mom, Lindsay, Mason, and Millie running out of the sidewalk to where I was running along the road. And, you know, Millie's like waving. She's like, hi, dad. And then, dude, I just got goosebumps from my feet, from my toes to the top of my head. And it was just like this surge of energy. And I'm like, I told Lindsay later on, I was like, I'm not even running a race. I was like, I'm just running to run. And it felt so good that it motivated me. And I was supposed to only run, you know, 5 or 6 miles. I ended up running 9.4. I went longer because I just felt good. But then I got dehydrated because I didn't have water with me. So that kind of sucked. But it's just, I'm telling you, man, like I've never thought I would have been a runner. Never thought it. But the fact that I'm having these feelings, I'm having this progress happen to me over time. It's just, it's been cool, man. And like, I will say this, I would not be taking it this serious if I did not have a race coming up. I know for a fact, I know for a fact, I would not be taking it this serious. So if there are guys out there or girls listening to this that are like kind of running or like wanting to get started and just like bettering their overall health, because like, dude, I feel so much better internally too, like with my health. My anxiety's gone down a lot just because I think I'm moving my body more. Excuse me. I want to say, if you guys are wanting to like make a change in your life, or to feel better mentally, or just to maybe try and get feel better physically, if you want to start running, sign up for a race now.
Yeah.
Give yourself like, you know, and it can be a 5K, it can be a 10K, a half marathon, whatever you want, whatever you want to do to challenge yourself, you know yourself, but make it to where you're like scared. Yeah. Like make it to where you're like, oh shit, there's no way I can do this race. Like I did 100K, you know, it makes you want to train. It makes you want to get better. And it makes you stick with those days where like, if I didn't have a race, like that day when I wanted to go get ice cream, you guarantee your ass I was going to get ice cream and I wouldn't have ran that day. But I knew I had that race coming up and I can't, every day I miss is a day that's not progressing me even further, even if it's a shitty running day and I have those two.
And you'll remember those days on race day.
Yeah.
And I will say, I mean, I'll be 100 with you. When your parents are coming to town, I was like, this dude, no way. No way he's running. Sure as shit, man. So I will say, you, I didn't tell you, like, you didn't like prove me wrong, but like,
yeah.
I thought it a little bit. So you made me eat my words. I think yesterday I texted you like, how is your trail run? And I was thinking to myself, like, I didn't want to like text it in case you missed it. I didn't want you to think like I said, again, like, did you get your run in today?
Right.
But like, I was, cause you said you might try and go to the trails. And like, as I was texting you that, I was on Strava and I saw that you just finished. I was like, this fucking guy got it done, got the work done. And I'll say, I'll shout out people on the Discord too, cause this is what's freaking great.
It's awesome.
You know, like, it's not about us. And even when the podcast was talking about money, it was always like, let's rise up together. And you know, you got Corey in there. He's been running just a mile, nice and easy, and posting it, you know? And I think he said something like, I can't believe, same as you just said, like, can't believe kind of how good. Yeah, he said, only 2 weeks into this running thing. I've been going out 4 times a week. Today, I tried to focus on slowing down and breathing. This resulted in my quickest run yet. You got to slow down and go fast. And then the one yesterday, Nate wrote, finished my first half marathon this morning and my son ran through the finish line with me. Pretty awesome.
So cool.
Pretty awesome experience. 11 and a half years ago, my college football career was ended short with a spine injury that required surgery. Never thought I'd compete in something ever again. And today I did. Proud of my 2:33 time. And I'm proud that I feel like an athlete again. And he posted a picture with him and his son running across the finish line.
Looks I'm
like
looking at it right now.
Maryland, dude, like,
so awesome.
Like, I could not wait to like show that to my wife, like, because, you know, there might be some people, especially if you've been around the podcast for a while and you're used to us talking about options and stuff, like, you might be getting to yourself, like, you might be saying to yourself at this point, like, all right, enough with the, when are we going to go back? Enough of the running. It's like, when I read shit like that, that's why I'm glad that we decided to make a pivot and really talk about the things that we're passionate. Like, who knows if we're going to run forever, but at least in this phase of our life, I think it's super important for us to have that be like, when we first started the podcast, it was like, hey, let's record our phone conversations. Like, I think we have pretty cool conversations. And it just became so much about, you know, trying to stay on topic with it. Now it's just, and people are getting on board and it's really, it's cool. You mentioned, I will pivot a little bit off the running thing, but you PR'd your 5K. I did want to give you credit for that today.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
how'd that feel?
It was a cool feeling, man. So like today,
You made it sound like you just squeaked in sub 30, bro. You were in the 28s.
Yeah, it felt good. And it was also thunderstorming its ass off while I was running, like the crackling thunder. I was like, should I be out here right now?
Did you say you were going to send it? Did you tell yourself I'm going to try and PR my 5K, or you were just feeling good? Did it by accident?
So I started running in the first 2 minutes of running. I felt real good, which I was shocked because I thought my legs were going to be a little sore from the long run yesterday, and they just felt golden. And I had my old Brooks shoes on because those New Balance I was wearing were soaking wet from the run yesterday. So like those shoes felt different too. It just felt, everything felt different and good. So I was like, oh damn. I didn't really know how long I was going to run for. I knew it was going to be around 2 to 5 miles. I knew it was going to get somewhere around that in. And I have like one loop that I always do that's like 3.7 or 3.6 or something. And I started off and I thought to myself, I was like, I may try to PR my 5K. And I know I've never ran a sub 30. So I'm like trying to do the math in my head as I kind of like pick up pace a little bit. And I didn't want to go out too quick, but I was like, let's just see how I feel this first mile. And I picked it up. And as I'm running, I'm like trying to do the math. I'm like, okay, if I run like a 9:30, that should get me to this and it should be okay. And I couldn't remember if a 5K was like 3.1 or 3.2 or like 3.3. I couldn't remember. So I was like, let's try to feel good until like 2.9 and then send it as hard as I could. So I was feeling good. Second mile, I backed off a little bit because I was just like, I think I pushed a little too hard the first mile. Third mile came in and I was getting even more tired. But then I just like, and I caught myself, like I kept looking at my watch like, oh shit, I'm only at 2.01. I'm only at 2.2. I was like, oh my God. So that one took forever. But I just kept it steady. Like I kept it. I told myself, don't let myself get above 9:30 pace. I said, yeah. I knew I could keep it at 9:30.
That'll get you there.
So, yep, I kept doing it, kept running. I kept looking down at my pace. And like, I got my eyes narrowed down now where I can look at just what I want to look at without looking at the other numbers.
Yep.
So like, I looked down just to check pace. I wasn't looking at distance. I'm like, okay, I'm good. Still in a 9:30. I'm feeling good. I can stay here.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude, I got there. I ran. I said I was going to go through 3.3, I think, because I knew for sure that would cover the 5K.
Yeah.
So I kept running to 3.3 and then I hit 3.3 and I stopped and I was like, you know, I had to take like a 30 second catch me up break. But as soon as I clicked done, my watch was like new PR 5K and I saw the 28 because I was expecting it to be 29 something because I looked at it and at 3.28 or whatever, I was like I had like 5 seconds left to break sub 30. So I was like sprinting, and I, you know, little did I know I already passed the damn time. So I probably could have sent it a little harder if I would have known the exact distance. But yeah, dude, I mean, I'm stoked. I'm very happy with that time. I mean, I never ran a sub 30 in my life and I just did it just to on a whim, you know. It's crazy to see your body make these changes, man. It's unreal. It's like hitting a new max on your bench or something like that, you know.
I'm curious because you mentioned it, and I know that some people might be curious as well. I know that I always was. What metrics do you have on your watch face when you're running? Like, what can you look down and see?
So I usually look at total distance and miles.
Mm-hmm.
Next down is total time running. And then below that is pace. And then if I click down, that's giving me my distance per mile. So every mile it updates.
Right.
It's giving me the time for that mile or that lap, whatever you want to call it. And then it's giving me the pace for that lap, that 1 mile. And if I click down one more, it's heart rate.
Yeah, I got to get you a heart rate monitor.
Yeah, I'm curious where I'm at because there's no way I'm still running in the 150s, 160s when I feel how I feel on these long runs. I mean, maybe I am, but I just feel like it hasn't come down at all, you know? Yeah. So I do need to look into that because I am curious what that would be.
I got cadence. I got average pace. So like the pace of the whole run.
Mm-hmm.
Heart rate. The time and the distance. And so that's that's five different things. And it's funny how you mentioned like they all fit on the little watch face.
Yeah.
But I can look at this point.
Oh, you can narrow in.
I can look at just one of those five without seeing the other ones. It's so funny that you said that.
Yeah. Yep. And I always know which one I want to check too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's like a distance thing and I don't want to know what distance I'm at, I'll just know to like barely like click my watch over and look down right at the bottom so I get that pace.
Are we allowed to talk about the house? What's going on with it?
Not, I mean,
you want to wait?
Yeah, there's the reasoning for some stuff I can't really talk about. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I just know we haven't really talked about it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, so far it's good. You know, I'll say that.
Yeah, so you're still working towards possibly purchasing that house.
Correct. Yeah.
The other thing, you would know this better than me, because for the longest time, I was up to date on all the market news, but now I think you're a little bit more up to date on market news than mm-hmm. me. Did I read on Twitter that we entered a bull market?
Yeah, dude, this stock, this market's been insane, man.
What is a bull market is up 20% from lows, right?
I believe that's the definition.
And the swing low was in October.
I think it has to be a consecutive time frame. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head.
Yeah, no, I think from the most recent swing low, you have to be up 20%. So
okay,
the low, we are up 20% from the low in October. But I didn't know if it was just like one of those days where like we skirted to like 21 and then it came back down to 18. Like we were pretty green all week, right?
Oh, dude, my Robinhood portfolio has been exploding this past month. I think this past month.
I saw your video. Like, you were up like 40% year to date or something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm not quite that much, but it was one of the stocks I'm in, Palantir, and that was a stock I bought back in 21, you know, on hype. And I guess I've been bag holding it for 2.5 years. And it recently had this jump. And I sold a third of my position for a $50 gain, or yeah, because I had 100 shares I sold. And then I have two others I've been writing covered calls on, just taking advantage of this extremely high premium. So I have 200 shares left that I'm probably going to get rid of that. But I'm also like taking the premium while I can, you know what I mean? Because right. I might as well. But if it jumps back up, so I have my average cost is $16.50. I sold 100 shares at $17, and then it dropped back down to like $14.50 or wherever it's at now. But if it gums back up above $16.50 in the near term, I'll probably just sell out of.
Why the hell can't that happen to our Baba that we're back holding? Has Baba been up?
It's still staying around the same, but I've slowly been just nibbling at it here and there. You know, it's one of those things that's another big bag. That's the biggest bag holder I have also. It was Palantir, that, and then PayPal. But then like SoFi's been soaring too, man. And I, you know, SoFi is like 20-something% of that Robinhood portfolio. So
yeah, my Google's killing me in the wheel. But
oh yeah, it's true.
I always know the market is doing well when I get comments on YouTube like, this guy's wheeling for 1% a month when VTI is up 20% year to date. I'm mm-hmm. like, all right, bud, let's zoom out 5 years, bud. Yeah. If I did 12% a year for the last 5 years, I got VTI. Or I'll just say, that's why 99% of my net worth is in VTI.
Yeah, but no doubt.
Whenever VTI is outdoing my wheel portfolio, I know the markets are doing fucking good. Let's go.
Yeah, they are, man. It's killing right now. So yeah, I feel good.
And it's beautiful too. Like when things are green, obviously the world's a better place when things are green, but it's fun to look back at my Roth IRA where I've been buying VTI now for 5 years. And I think like my average cost basis on VTI is like 120 and it's trading for like 220 now. And it's like, I'm finally starting to see after 5 years, like, wow, if you hold on to a stock for a while, your return, what do you call it in the dividend space? Yield on cost. Mm-hmm. Like you're at your basis, like you really start to see, holy cow.
It's fucking sick.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice, dude. Markets have been doing pretty well, but it's all dependent on, I think this week CPI data comes out. So that's really gonna take turn for
the
good or for the worse.
When I was trading, man, I knew all that FOMC. I knew all the days. I knew mm-hmm. when Powell was speaking. I knew the interest rates. I knew like this is priced into the market. They're pricing in 50 basis point. I knew all of that. And now I really, but I will say I've been getting the itch to fucking day trade again.
No, dude. Keep wheeling.
I've been getting the itch though. You want to know what it really is? I missed like the in the year, and I guess it was probably like 15 months I day traded every day. I made some like relationships.
Yeah.
Not in like we're dating, but like I met some traders and we had like a DM relationship, you know, and like kind of missed some of those dudes.
take $1,000 and see what you can do with it. I don't know, man. Like,
I was actually, well, I traded the Top Step Combine, and which is a prop firm, and you trade with their money if you pass their steps. So I was like actually like thinking about possibly just like trading with a prop firm. Because that's $117 a month.
Hmm.
If you don't break any rules.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's not for me, dude.
Summer's coming around. Like, I'm like, what am I going to do with all my free time?
It's true.
My lawn looks dope. I don't have to spend any time back there. The pool is fixed.
It's good.
My AC can't break. Better not, because I just spent $7,000 on it.
Bro, I've been dying for a cold plunge.
Oh, yeah? You miss
dying
it?
Dying for a cold plunge.
When I got off the treadmill today, I was soaked. And like, it was one of the first times. Actually, today's the first day we turned the AC on. It was like, not so hot today. It was like 80, but it was like humid today. First time we put the AC on, but today was the first workout where like, I couldn't wait to get in and drop the body temperature. It was like,
dude,
I was sweating. Like I came out of the sauna. Like it was one of those like sweats where like you could wait a half hour, take a cold shower and you get out of the shower and you're still fucking sweating. I hate that. We're in that time of year.
Yeah.
And, but you jump in the cold plunge and it's like, you're done sweating. You are not going to be hot any longer.
So can I, let me make a quick, what's the word I'm looking for? Confession, I guess. I tried to pull the, I usually never do this, but I tried to pull the old influencer card.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me you peed in my cold plunge.
Oh no. I don't think I could do that, dude.
Dude, I always try and pull the influencer card.
Oh, so I DM'd, and I don't DM very often. I really don't. I DM'd the plunge company.
I got the idea.
And all the, did?
Did they get back to you? I'll tell you what they said to me.
No, they didn't even read me.
Yeah, you need to grow your influence, but if you do buy one, we'll give you an affiliate code, and if you get 10, we'll give you the plunge for free. Like, we'll reimburse you.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so that's what they would have done for me.
Oh, right now I wouldn't do it, but if we get this awesome stuff.
The plunge on their website, they have an affiliate application.
Okay.
On their website. Because I also talked to the guys at Ice Barrel, I told them, see, before I built mine, I was waiting for Ice Barrel to make one, because I like the vertical ones. The ones like that we sit in, like, I don't prefer that over the barrels that you just jump in. I'm sure you've seen them, but like they don't have chillers connected to them. So it's like, I'm definitely not fucking buying ice every day. I'm not doing that. So like I DM'd and was talking with Ice Barrel and I'm like, guys, you know, I want one. I'll pay for it, but I need you. When's the one? Cause they keep talking like, oh, we're coming out with the one with the chiller. We're coming out with the one with the chiller. And I'm like, I'm coming into summer. Like Mother Nature is not cooling mine anymore. And they're like, it's probably going to be like end of August, we'll have ours with the chiller. And I'm like, nope. But I still want to keep that relationship open. But dude, I've rolled the dice with my 300 followers. You know, I've even the sauna companies, I've reached out. Because what's the worst they're going to say? Go swallow a fork?
Yeah.
You know, right, and like that's what happened with me and the Ketone IQ. Like, I'm like, I like the product. I think it's a life hack. And so I reached out to the CEO and I just started talking to him about how I was taking a different ketone supplement and how I switched to his. And at the time, like it was so big that I didn't even think to even like ask. I just wanted to let him know that like I liked the change from the old ketones I was taking. And this dude's just stand up guy. Now I've been talking with him for 6 months, but he was like, let me send you a starter pack, man. Thanks for the support. I'm like, I have some already. He's like, no, I'll send you some more. Thanks so much. And sent me a hat. And now I DM and talk with this guy every day. He gave me an affiliate link. And I'm like, I feel like such a peon. And he's like, I kind of have a feeling one day you'll be a little bit bigger than a peon. And I want you to know that I don't care how big you are. I care about loyalty. And I'm like, that's the type of people that I want to fucking work with. So
yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I know I've gotten DMs from people that are like, dude, what the hell? Like, cause like my Instagram and stuff's really been like, did a big switch, but like my YouTube and everything, cause I've kept the same. I did start a new JJ Buckner YouTube channel just for the running stuff.
Yeah.
Which has been fun. Cause I did like a couple vlogs and stuff, but, the Instagram was my main Instagram before, where I have my you know, my 11,000 followers or whatever. So I did get a lot of people that are like, hey, what's going on here, bro? Like, this was you're a money guy and now you're a running guy. I'm like, yeah, dude, it's just, you know,
change. I'm just a guy.
Yeah. So it's my passion right now. So it's something new. Tomorrow I may talk about being photographing elephants in the African safari. I don't know.
Are you going to photograph what?
I don't know. Me and Mace want to do the Appalachian Trail. You want to do it with us? I mean, it's not going to be like for 10 more years, but.
I don't think so.
Oh, dude.
I've done the one up here, or parts of it I've done. And I've camped on it, but it's a long trip.
It is a long trip.
There's some sketchy spots. You have to bring out your Missouri. You have to carry around some.
We'd for sure have something.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of dope shit I want to do.
Yeah. I want to do some international races once I get some more built up here. Just to like be able to see the world in a different way. It'd be cool to know like you're going to France or like Greece or some shit to like run a cool race, but also just to like explore the countryside. And like,
we have two or three marathons internationally, some trail, some regular, that when the lottos start popping up, we're going to sign. I'll let you know.
Okay.
We pretty much have our 2024 schedule already planned.
Dang.
Of like things we want to do.
That's cool.
With the exception of Moab 240, because I got to figure out how I'm going to take a week off for work to do that.
You're going to sign up for that?
Not this year, not 24, but I think 25 is going to be my 240 year.
It's insane. I haven't even ran a half marathon yet.
Soon enough.
I think I'm going to try it Saturday.
Yeah?
Like Saturday. Yeah.
Well, like do it Friday night, man, when I'm suffering in my race.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe I will do that. I'll just make my, I may make Saturday my rest day or something.
Yeah,
I may do that.
Know that I'm out there, you know, even I'll tell you this. Cause you know, I did the 21 on Saturday or whatever. And I did it 4 mile loops every hour.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Like, I don't think if you did three loops of that, right, it'd be 12 miles. If you added a little bit more, you get the half marathon. That's still running 12 miles.
For sure.
Even if you came back and rested at the house for 10 minutes after each 4 mile loop.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Actually, I'll make a prediction because we'll talk about it. Maybe we'll wait till I do this race before we record the following week.
Okay.
I'll tell you, when I thought about this race on paper.
Well, say the race, what it is first.
All right. So Friday night, 6:30 p.m. it starts. And it is a race of attrition. So I actually kind of want to make a reel about this, but it is, you're limited to 4.12 miles per hour. Essentially, you have to run a 4.2 mile loop every hour on the hour, last man or woman standing. So you either don't get back in an hour from your loop, you're out, or you quit. Those are the only ways that you can get out of this race. And like on paper, you're like 4 miles per hour is like 15 minute pace, which is kind of a weird, and the 4.2 miles, the way they came up with that, if you do it for 24 hours, it's 100 miles. So it's 100 miles for a day. And 15 minutes per mile is a little too slow to walk. I mean, it's a little too fast to walk, but it's like, it's in a weird spot where like you have to kind of move. You don't have to move fast. So on Friday or Saturday, I tried different things. Run 7 minutes, walk 3 minutes, walk 2 minutes, run 8 minutes. And when I signed up for this, I'm like, I'm slow, but I can suffer. And I'm like, on paper, I feel like I can go for fucking a day. Like I on paper, after doing Saturday, I got to 21, so I did five loops and felt good. Felt really, really good in the middle of the day. So like that's going to be one thing too. Like I'm a night owl. Like this thing starts at 6:30. I don't have to battle the sun. I hate the heat. So it's going to be like twilight, right? That's when the sun goes down, or is that the morning? Twilight is at nighttime. It's going to be like getting dark, 6:30 loop and 7:30 loop. the 8:30 loop will probably be dark. And then if I can get to like 5 a.m. where the sun starts to come up, I'm going to be so, you know, like when the sun comes up, you just get like this feeling of like, let's go. And the only thing I'm kind of worried about is I'm on a flat island and each loop has 600 feet, like 575 feet.
That's tough.
Which I think could add up. But yeah. here's good, bad, and worse scenarios. Here's how I like, I don't know. When we talk about it again, here's how you know I'll be happy. I got like something going on with her heart right now. Sorry, I have to clear. If I can make it, oh, well, anything less than 50K, 32 miles, which would be 8 hours, I'm going to be pissed. I'm just going to be pissed. Like, I'm going in and I want 8 hours. So now 8 hours gets me to 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2 a.m. If I can get there, the next lap will be a PR distance for me, which would be really cool. That'd be 36 miles. But now I kind of want to hit 36 miles. I want to go further because 4 weeks from Friday, I have a 60K, which is roughly 40 miles. So I would like to experience what 40 miles feels like then before I get to that race. But then if I get to 40, how do I not do two more loops and get to 50? Like, it's only two more loops to get to 50. But then if I get to 50, which will really be 48, it's 6 a.m. Now the sun's up. So it's like, how do I not get one or two for breakfast? Like, how do you grind all night and not fall asleep and then the sun comes up and your circadian rhythm, like your natural circadian rhythm picks up and you can't go for another hour or so. So I want 50K. I want 8 hours, 32 miles, 8 loops. If we're talking about this next weekend and I got that, I'm happy. And if I say that I'm not happy with it, we'll go back and replay this and be like, you were totally satisfied with 50K. My ecstatic, like, let's fucking go, is 48. Like, if I can, actually, no. Ecstatic would be 40. Like, if I can go over 40, I'll be very, very happy. Anything over 40, I'll really have surprised myself.
40 miles?
Yeah. 50, which would be the 12 hours, that would be crazy.
That would be insane, dude.
But here's the other thing, Jay. The race might not even last that long. It's going to. Yeah. Like, the people that win this shit, dude, it's going to go on for 2 days.
Jesus.
It's going to go like 70-something hours.
Wow.
But like, that's the crazy thing, too. Like, I don't know how much food to bring. Mm-hmm. Like, when I go do a 50K or when I go do a 100-miler, I know how much food, like, I know how roughly how long it's going to take. But it's like, how do you bring food for 12 hours? And then you're like actually feeling good at 12 hours. And you're like, shit, I don't have any food but water and I can keep going. It's like, how do you prepare for that? Like, I'm in a group chat with a bunch of people that I know doing it. And it's like, how much food do you bring? I don't fucking know, man. I'm going to bring a big bowl of pasta and like a couple jugs of water, like a box of fig bars. Like, I have no fucking idea.
It's crazy.
But that's Friday.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll do the half marathon then while you're suffering with that.
Yeah.
I'll get my, what, 13 point?
13.2.
Two?
Oh, yeah.
My gosh.
That's funny. It. Actually, 13.1, 13.1.
Okay.
I think it's like 13.15 because a marathon's 26.2.
Now, that I'll probably just try to run at my regular pace, like my 11.10. I'm not going to push that. And yeah, see how I do.
Send it at the end.
Yeah, I always do.
Guys, please, in the Discord, like, even if you're going for walks now daily, let us know.
Yeah.
It makes us feel cool.
It's motivating.
It motivates me, too. Like, I remember when we did the mile streak, like, a year and a half ago, and, like, me and you both dropped out, and the girl Olivia, she went forever, and yeah. I was like, oh, man, this chick is a rock star. Like, she made me feel like shit every day, and I loved it. Like, she made me feel like a lazy piece of shit every day. And I loved it. And like, there's, you know, like, I see Corey going like a couple times a week now. And it's like, how am I not going to go out and get the work done?
Right.
You know, and I also want to make it really clear, like, when Corey says that he ran a mile and at whatever pace it was, and we're like, that's fucking awesome. And then we post that we ran 50 miles this week. Like, dude, it's the same shit for me. Like, yep. Because I remember when it was a mile a day, and it's my mile
not
a
even
day.
For me.
You know, you think about like every single river starts as a trickle, right? And it just so happens that I'm a couple miles downstream. That's all, you know? And, but like, yeah, just dude, everything's better.
It is 100%. I told Lindsay last night, I said, you know, I drink with my dad or whatever that Friday night. I was like, I don't even, like, it's not something that I'm really like looking forward to anymore. Cause I know it's going to screw up my runs, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, dude, everything is better.
I love the confidence I have now to tell people that I'm not drinking.
Yeah.
Like when I used to know that I was going to a social event and I'm like, oh, it's going to be those guys that are going to be there. Or like even when I went to the Dubco anniversary party and I'm like, oh my God, you know, it's going to be a shit show. Like, what am I going to do? Or like, they're going to bust my balls. Or like we were even talking about this race, the guys, they're all bringing coolers. And, maybe like a couple months ago, like that might've been something that I needed to worry about or something that I needed to like, I thought I might be tempted by. Today was just like, yeah, guys, I'm not drinking now, but I'll definitely have some NAs. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, as the non-paranoid reality of life, they were like, oh, okay, cool. Cool.
Yeah.
They weren't like, not drinking. Just like all the things that I would play in my mind when I said that I was going to slow down my drinking, you know? But,
yeah.
All right, dude. I think feels we, I think we, got, yeah, I got some stuff. Oh, I feel better. This is our, this is also our little Prozac, you know, it's nice.
Yeah, it is.
I like chatting with you.
Yep.
You're a good friend.
Skinny friend now. I'm trying to get on your level.
Couldn't be vegans. Could turn you into vegans.
Nah, it's never happening.
Remember, man, you know, biceps don't make you live longer. Strong heart does.
It's true. But if I can have a strong heart and some bigger biceps, I'm happy.
Well, you just want that because you like when your wife squeezes them.
Yeah, that's why my wife likes it.
I got to say the other night, not to be too TMI, but like I felt my wife like kind of like rubbing my back a little bit differently than she usually does. Like she never like feels me up, you know, I'm a fucking a boiled chicken. But like I remember when we first started dating and I was like,
yeah,
I was like CrossFit Brad.
Yeah.
And like I remember how she used to like grab my shoulders and things like that and like put her hands on me a certain way, like she could feel like the 25-year-old Brad.
Oh dude,
she's starting to like put her hands on me that way again. And I'm like, yeah, that's right.
And not only that, but like
those are pecs.
Not only that, but your kids look at you too and they see you putting in the work. You know, even your young kids, like they're watching. Like they notice what's going on.
I know Avery on her Father's Day thing and I don't think she knows the difference. She definitely doesn't know the difference between like non-alcoholic beers. And she knows on happy hour, like I'm still drinking non-alcoholics and stuff. But on the Father's Day ad lib, like my dad likes to drink cold beers was on there. And like, that's the type of shit. That's part of the reason why I stopped.
Yeah.
But like, it crushed me. Yeah, and I was like, but it crushed me in a way. It would have crushed me worse. Like the guy next to me, who his daughter wrote the same thing and like he's a booze bag, you know, like he probably felt worse, you know, but like for me, it was more like this is kind of why I stopped, but like, I still have to work harder on making it clear to her that I don't. And like, this Friday she was like, you're done with your beer. I'm like, baby, this is just a seltzer. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, I'm like, you can have a sip. It's just a seltzer. I don't drink beer. But, yeah, the kids, she definitely doesn't say like, your belly's big anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's good, dude. There's nothing bad from it.
No.
Nothing bad from it.
Nope.
Good deal, man. Well.
Let's get out of here. I got to edit this thing. It's 10 o'clock now.
Yeah.
Let's get this day out. Let's see.
All right.
I'm going to go into edit mode.
Get after it.
All right. We'll figure out the title. If you hate the title, I titled it this time. All right, guys.
See you next week.
See you later.